That was beautiful, Valerie. Tough act to follow. I want to thank Joan Bauer and Jimmy. It's always a real privilege to be invited here to read in this series. I also want to thank Jim Beatty for the great intro and for all she has done for me and for all of the Mad Women. I'm thinking about my mom tonight. My mom had a stroke 3 months ago. She's a remarkable woman, 86 years old, doing better, but she's been hospitalized for the last few months. And I write a lot of poems about her. So I'm going to dedicate these poems, many of which engage with her life, to my mother, Carol. Raspberries. I started out in western Pennsylvania hills with wild raspberry and blackberry bushes and my mother's apple field. Bread and ripe fruit and fresh milk. My mother cleaned the carpet right off the floor. My father was a Troy Hill boy who played piano and smoked Pall Malls and drank whiskey. He won my mother in a dance contest. Who wouldn't learn to jitterbug for a prize like her? They took a train to Cape Cod for a honeymoon and bought hats for their mothers. They sailed all the way from the Cape to 10 children. My whole life has been ripe with wild fruit. All the men I've loved had left feet. I was innocent until I got myself a good pair of rain boots. There is no point in wondering what I'll come to. With my first words, I wrote my own path straight to New York, all-night accents, brick stoops. I left there like a mad dog running free, like our Dusty who got himself killed down the street, chasing the neighborhood boys. He ran smack into a fender. We buried him up in the woods after a proper funeral. No amount of experience can shake the ripeness out of me, or my mother, or my father, who didn't just win a bride with his right feet and big shoes. He won a green thumb. This next poem is a poem that was inspired by the Australian poet Les Murray. It's called Deciduous, and it has some language in it that might be unfamiliar to some. Deciduous meaning a plant or tree that sheds its leaves annually. It has a secondary meaning, which is transitory. Meristem, which is the embryonic tissue responsible for cell growth in all plants. And cambium, which is a layer of meristemic tissue responsible for tree rings and secondary plant growth. Deciduous. I am the seed that roots and spreads. I am the underbow unbearing. I am the meristem, the forest in refuge, the division in moss and the division in fern. I am the absence of sound in deep rise, in snow-buried mound, in matter-of-fact serration. The feeling of stillness that widens and widens, then rustles and spills from forked tongue to tadpole spitting stream. I am boundlessness of now when it is good to bear nothing but the weight of its great vastness. While winters pass from absence to deafening gathering to absence again, many rebirths and sprawling coverings, till the falling ahead becomes the falling behind, and half the short seasons of the day are sameness. Widening pools cast my perpetual echo. I am bark of skin dividing out. I am winged vertebrae weaving. I am cambium, the forest in refuge, the division in fern, the place of meristem division. This next poem is a poem about my mom called Near the Ocean's Edge. The bus that took my mother to Atlantic City in 1945 was a Greyhound. She was 14, leaving home for the first time, to visit Adeline and John Higgins, who used to live next door. They were childless and good to her. She traveled alone, a tiny, solitary thing. A drunken sailor sat down next to her and stared, then asked, "Can I suck a hickey on your neck?" She had no idea what he meant, moved seats, and sat alone. Seeing the ocean for the first time, she wept. She couldn't swim but walked the shore for hours. Near the ocean's edge, she first saw seahorses, a herd of them floating. They were beautiful and stationary, too magical to be living. She thought them shells, packed her suitcase full of them, laid them gently between her worn cotton dresses and under things. Arriving home, she opened her case to show her treasures to a friend, and they'd rotted. The stench so strong, it dizzies her still. This last poem, I was with my mom a lot over last summer, and she's a very eccentric person, a very literary person, and I thought, driving home one day, if she were a genre, she would be magical realism. This poem is called The Marvelous Real. Like some biblical oracle blind to this world, my mother visualizes the next. I am entering the realm of death. Sucking Italian confetti, candied almonds coated in bright pastel sugar. With her good leg, she pushes the aluminum glider back and forth on my sister's front porch. Says, redheads are hybrids, a different species of person. Thorny locust trees wave to the right, as mottled as witches in fairy tales, their sharp thorns poking out like mom's index finger, which she aims every so often to emphasize. There's more than meets the eye everywhere. Then, your sister's a slave to that man. Two giant ferns swing from chain baskets. Sparrows flit in and out. I dream of ice skating. As a girl, her night terror. Skating in a great ice rink, she hears thousands of skates whirl around her. But there's only me. Mom shoves off on white Nikes, hunches deep into her pink cardigan, though it's 90 degrees. I'm freezing, then. It's hot as hell out here. My mother's a floodplain today. Sediment dropped from the river. A Venetian canal latticed with ice. Watertight. Thank you so much.